the more we consider how we're speaking to ourselves and how we're interpreting our world, the more we feed that to ourselves, you know, the greater impact it's going to have on us. So if we tell ourselves our life is difficult and stressful and scary, that's how we're going to experience life. But if we tell ourselves that, you know, we're strong and resilient and that life is for living and that we can choose our happiness and joy and we can choose to live a life that feels fulfilling, the more we're going to live a life that is full of happiness and the more satisfied we're going to feel.
To dive right in to maybe the first question I had was, what causes us to be anxious? And it's kind of a general, very vague question, but I think I'd love to know your explanation on what actually happens to our body when we feel that anxious feeling. So the only message that we get is like kind of maybe the tickle in our tummy or like the shakes or, you know, the nervousness or kind of maybe sweating or something like that, whatever symptoms it might be. But what actually is going on inside the brain at that point in time to cause us that anxious reaction?
Well, I think it's actually a brilliant question and a brilliant question to start on, because in my work as a psychologist, one of the first things I will do when I'm working with somebody around anxiety or stress will be to explain to them exactly what's happening for them. Because if we don't have an understanding or an awareness of it, you know, we can't help ourselves or we can't make changes. So that's something I do a lot in my work, you know, psychoeducation, and something I do a lot on my Instagram page as well, just teaching people and helping them understand these things. So it's a brilliant question. So we're actually evolutionary primed to experience anxiety. It's something that we experience and we're programmed to experience to help keep us safe from danger. So if you imagine back in the day, the hunter-gatherer, you know, would be a threat to real danger from wild animals. So anxiety is our body's way of keeping us safe. So when we feel that we're in a dangerous situation, our body will start to respond to that. So adrenaline will be released in our brain, and that will, on a physiological level, change our bodies, how we're, you know, how we're feeling in the moment. It will change how our body's responding to the moment. So things happen like our senses increase, our heart starts to beat faster, it pumps more blood to our body, our airways and our lungs open up, we breathe faster, more oxygen is sent to our brain. So our body responds to try help us to, I suppose, survive the danger. And what we'll do is we'll go into flight, fight or freeze mode, which I'm sure you've heard of. And that just means that our body will either fight off the threat. So if it's a wild lion that's about to attack us, we'll try to fight the wild lion, we'll try to flee, so run away from the lion, or we'll freeze. You know, often we hear, if you come across a wild bear, sometimes freezing can be a really good strategy. So yeah, we go into that fight or freeze mode. What also happens is cortisol is released in our body in that moment as well, and this switches off kind of non-essential body systems and also kind of fuels our fight, flight or freeze response. As well as that, glucose or blood sugars will be released to give us more energy, and we'll also take energy from fat stores in our body. So our body's working really hard to protect us in that moment. And the thing we have to consider with anxiety, especially in our world nowadays, it's not that often that we're around these serious threats to our safety. We might be if we're crossing the road and a car or a bus is coming speeding towards us. And yes, that evolutionary response is really important in that moment. But often a lot of us experience really heightened anxiety when our world isn't really in that much danger. So we really need to be careful how we speak to ourselves, how we perceive the situations and the events around us, because our brain doesn't see the external world. Our brain relies on what we tell it about the external world. So often we can feel really, really anxious, and actually we're not in that much of a danger. We're just telling ourselves we are. So if we can learn to control that and manage that and build awareness to what we're telling ourselves, that can hugely help our anxiety levels.
So it really, really starts with those input thoughts. Like, and I can see it like a cycle, like a vicious cycle, if you want to say, like, about, you know, it begins with the thoughts, and then the thoughts go into your brain. It causes your body to react in a certain way. And then your output is the anxious feeling, or, you know, if you're sweating or you're shaking or, you know, whatever it might be. So I'm sure then if you have somebody, you know, that if it's a client or you're speaking with somebody who's really anxious over when they're not even sure what it is at all. Like, I think a lot of people don't notice the triggers during the day. You know, they don't really see those triggers. And that also takes some work too, to figure out, okay, well, what's really triggering it? Where are the bad thoughts actually stemming from? So do you go back and kind of look at where those bad thoughts have stemmed from, or where those initial thoughts have stemmed from, and what they look like? Is that important in the process?
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, you know, as I'm talking, I'm thinking as well that anxiety can be really, really hard to, I suppose, claim back control over. You know, I might say, oh, all we have to do is X, Y, and Z, but actually it can be really, really difficult to quieten and to calm our anxiety. And it's definitely a practice, but the good news is it's something that we can definitely get better at. You know, the more we help ourselves to feel safe and to calm our anxiety, the better we become at that, the easier it becomes for us, and the more our neural pathways in our brain get used to firing in that way. And also, you know, I will talk about the triggers and how to build awareness of them as well, but I just wanted to say that I experience anxiety as well. You know, even though I'm a psychologist, and even though I know all this stuff, and I know what to do, and I know what to say, and I know how to calm my system down, I experience anxiety as well. I've always experienced anxiety. And it's something that I talk about quite a lot on my Instagram page. So yeah, I really wanted to get that message across before I go into, you know, how to overcome it or how to start building awareness, because it can be really hard. There's days that I feel really, really anxious, and it might be because I've something coming up, like a wellness talk, and I have performance anxiety. It might be, you know, when the world reopens a little bit. You know, I'm sure that lots of us will feel anxious, you know, socializing again. You know, I'm going to be starting weaning with my little girl soon, and I know I'm going to be feeling really anxious watching her take, you know, choking and gagging is a big, you know, a big fear of mums who are weaning. So anxiety is really normal. And I guess even in that instance with my little girl, the fact that I'll be sitting there and feeling a little bit anxious will probably be beneficial in a small way as well, that I am, I suppose, primed to respond if something does happen. But anyway, going back to your question, yes, anxiety triggers, we all experience them, you know, every day, probably multiple times a day. So if we can figure out what those triggers are, if we can build awareness to what sets off our alarm signals in our body, that can really help us to manage them in the moment, but then also, I suppose, work on ourselves and choose the situations that we're putting ourselves in, or having a little safety plan in mind for if we know we're going to do something that's going to really heighten our anxiety, how we're going to manage it. And there's lots of anxiety management kind of strategies and techniques and tools that we can use as well. And some of them are as simple as just focusing on our breathing, which we can do, you know, wherever we are, and people won't even notice that we're doing it.
And I know that somebody listening to this, maybe who has a lot of anxiety, has experienced a lot of anxiety, is hearing us say, you know, like, you know, focus on your breathing and stuff. But I've actually been through the whole therapy, the CBT therapy cycle, and have been able to, use those tools that at the point when you're really anxious and someone tells you to breathe more, you just want to say, like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, you think somebody's crazy for telling you to breathe more. Mm. But these things really, really work. And I don't want to your point, I don't want to undermine how tough anxiety is for people, you know, and it can be chronic and it can be, you know, just overwhelming, take over your life. I don't want to undermine that at all. But, you know, I do want to share a little bit of my personal experience that these tools that you're talking about, and we'll talk about journaling a little bit later on, do really work. And it's not simple, but there's simple ways to that I found that have worked and helped with my anxiety at the time. So I just want to make that note. Can I move on to the next question? So and we'll probably go kind of back and forth around different aspects of anxiety, but just speaking to the thoughts themselves. So is it true? I've heard a myth that our brain actually either holds on to negative thoughts or prefers negative thoughts or something. You know, like, I always think of our thoughts in our brain as like a train going through our brain, like all these crazy thoughts about everything and anything. And sometimes you don't even know that you're having so many thoughts, but there's so much stuff going through your brain, some positive, some negative, you know, all these different emotions. Are we made to think negatively, or is that a myth?
That's another good question. Let me tell you something that I suppose I think is going to sound really familiar to a lot of people. So say you're in a review in work, or you go for an interview and you don't get it and you're getting feedback. How many times have you sat there listening to feedback and somebody will tell you 50 things that you did really, really well, or that you're doing really, really well, and they might share one kind of piece of constructive criticism, something you can work on? How often have you left that meeting or that interview feedback or the review and thought to yourself, oh my God, that one piece of constructive criticism, I'm a failure, I'm doing a really bad job? How many times has that kind of circled around in your head and you completely ignore the 50 positive things that the person just told you?
Yeah, sounds very familiar.
Yeah, and it's like something that I recognize in my life as well. So yes, there's this thing called negativity bias, where we notice, learn from, and use kind of negative information more than positive. So also negative information elicits a more rapid and more prominent response in us. So take the news, even, for example. At the moment, even with coronavirus, COVID, how often are you sitting there, the news might be on in the background, and they could be talking about different stories, but it'd be the one story that's the most threatening, or the one story about the most dangerous thing that's happened in the world that will really catch your attention. Mm. So we will recognize and we'll hear the really kind of negative information a lot more quickly than we'll hear or register or hold on to the positives. And research even proves that, you know, in TV and in print, they always scream, like they always show the really, I suppose, dangerous or the really doom headlines, because that's what grabs attention. So this whole negativity bias impacts us in every aspect of our life. So like that with the review, when we hear 50 positives and one negative, we hang on to that negative. And also, like with anxiety, if 99% of our life is feeling really safe, but one thing is feeling under threat, like our relationship or our health, we'll really spend a lot of time thinking about that and considering that. Or even if we are out going for a walk, we will notice the negative a lot quicker, and we'll think about the negative a lot quicker than we will the positive. So yeah, it's not a myth. It's absolutely something that happens and that we're primed to experience. But again, like with everything else, if we can understand this and if we can take steps to minimize it or to counteract it, that's possible. So we can learn and we can practice and we can program ourselves to try not to just consider that one negative point, so that we can have a more over, like a rounded view of life around us, or a more optimistic view of ourselves or of our performance in work or of how safe our world feels.
So how would somebody go about, so say if you're listening and you feel those negative thoughts, you feel that this one tiny thing in your life that's negative is taking over, or, you know, that, you know, the brunt of the COVID world that we're living in is really weighing on your shoulders. But despite the fact that you might have a job and you might be healthy, your family might be healthy and all these other positive things happening around you, is it a thing that you capture the thoughts at the beginning, like to become more aware of what you're thinking, or how do we train ourselves to kind of nip them in the bud, or to minimize that negative thinking taking over?
So I would say that this process is kind of twofold. So firstly, kind of building an awareness and an understanding of what's happening for you, what's happening in your body. So the symptoms of anxiety that you're experiencing. So becoming like familiarizing yourself with them so that you're aware of when they're happening. So if you're experiencing headaches, nausea, muscle tension, if you're feeling irritable, if you're finding it difficult to concentrate, if you're finding it hard to sleep, if you're feeling like you're sweating a lot or shaking or trembling, or if you feel like you have this kind of impending sense of doom. So building an awareness to kind of how you're feeling in your body and to understanding the anxiety or the stress process, how your body responds to it, and then how your body feels, and also how your thoughts manifest. So what those thoughts might be. If you feel like going out, say for example, we'll go back to COVID again, if you feel like going out into public is really threatening for you, to become aware of the thoughts that you're having while you're out and about, or that maybe you're telling yourself that's preventing you from going out. So yeah, trying to become really aware of the thoughts that you're having. I think, you know, you mentioned journaling, writing down these things can be hugely powerful, because if in the moment we can track how we're feeling and write it down, and then go back and look at it when we're feeling less physiologically aroused, when we're feeling calmer, it can build our awareness. So learning from ourselves, building that awareness. And then, you know, with that awareness, we can make changes. So the changes might be drawing on some kind of tools and strategies to calm our anxiety in the moment, to calm down our physiological response. So really, really powerful way of calming our physiological response is to immerse our face in ice cold water. And what happens with that is that it switches off the sympathetic nervous system and activates the parasympathetic nervous system. So it's like a light switch, and it changes how our body is firing and how our body is responding to the moment. So it will change the brain chemicals that are being released in our brain, and that will change how, you know, our blood flow is responding. It will change our breathing, it will change our heart rate, it will change everything about how our body is in the moment. So we can have these really powerful tools to just literally flick that switch and help our body to stop firing in that way. And then if we can calm our body down in that way, the thoughts will lessen as well. Kind of immersing our face in ice cold water has been proven to be really beneficial. Breathing has been proven to really reset our body's response. So it's like the sympathetic nervous system. It's like when you're putting your foot on the accelerator in the car. So we're driving ourselves to feel this way. And then the parasympathetic nervous system, it's like putting your foot on the brake. And it slows down our response, slows down our bodily functioning. So immersing your face in cold water, breathing, meditating, just taking a moment out, removing yourself from the stress, that can really help as well. You know, if you're in a meeting, if you're feeling really anxious, stepping outside the meeting, going to the toilet for a couple of minutes and breathing in private, things like that, that can really help. Or distracting yourself from the anxiety, switching off the news, I suppose distracting yourself from the circling thoughts in your head, turning on some music, dancing around the kitchen, going for a walk. I think energy, changing our energy, can really help as well. So there's lots that we can do. And if the more we practice these things, the more effective we become at slowing down that kind of anxiety feeling and response in our body and switching off and quieting the thoughts.
So it's really fair to say that you have to really act on the moment. The more effective it is to act in the moment that you can. I know sometimes it's not, you know, possible to leave a meeting or to leave a situation or whatever, but it seems from what you're saying is to really act when in that moment and to continue practicing these things around in the day. But I think as well, like when people talk about these ways to I'm hearing nip them in the bud, you know, I'm hearing like you take a moment to meditate, you take a moment to journal, you're really doing things in that moment or, you know, every day, that you really have to take action. And I think at the start, it will feel very foreign to you, like especially if somebody has never practiced meditation or practiced journaling or anything like that, it probably feels foreign, I think. But then to your point about the more you practice them, the more effective they become, and the more you'll feel the benefits of them.
Exactly. And it's so true what you say. So it's really important to find a strategy or an exercise that you like and that works for you. You know, meditation might work for one person, and then it might make the other person even more anxious. Yoga might work really well for me, but it might not work for you. The deep breathing tends to work really, really well for a lot of people. So that's a really simple way to start. And that's one of the tools you can do, you know, use anywhere and at any time. So the more we practice it, and at the start, we might feel like we're making ourselves even more anxious with these strategies. But the more we practice them, the more we get used to them. And again, the more our brain gets used to doing them. So it will strengthen the brain pathways so that it becomes more natural to us. So you mentioned that you experienced CBT and you went for CBT therapy. And I think it's a really good place to start with learning to, I suppose, get a grasp on your anxiety in the moment, learning to understand what's happening for you, how your thoughts are fueling your body's response to anger, how your thoughts are making you feel more anxious. But also then to consider, you know, where the anxiety has stemmed from in the first place. So, you know, we experience anxiety for lots of different reasons. It might be that there is a genetic link. So if a family member of ours experiences anxiety, we can be more predisposed to experiencing anxiety as well. So that might be one way. There might be a biological connection. So it might be the level of our brain chemicals in our brain at the moment, which we can rebalance in lots of ways, but one way might be medication. It might be our personality and our temperament. We might be more predisposed again to anxiety. Like I've experienced anxiety since I was a little girl. I can remember feeling anxious when I was like 7. You know, it's been a part of my life for a long time. And I even see with one of my little girls, she's 3.5 now. She has always had, she's always been quite sensitive. So she's always been afraid of Santa. She's always been afraid of, you know, the characters, say, in Disney World that walk around.
Yeah.
She'd always be terrified of those kind of characters. She'd never want to be close to them. She's always really careful when she's, like, climbing that she's going to fall off. So, you know, our temperament and personality can make us more predisposed to anxiety. Then also experiences that we've gone through. So in early childhood and in adulthood. So if we've experienced trauma, if we've experienced abuse, if as children we've experienced a big loss in our lives or the separation of our parents, things like that, all of these factors link to the anxiety that we experience. If we're going through a big change in our life, like if we're experiencing an illness, the birth of a child, the ending of a relationship, all of these things can heighten our anxiety. So as well as working on them in the moment and learning what's happening at the time and how to manage that. It's working through what we've learned about the world. If we've learned that the world is a really dangerous, scary place, for example, if we don't feel like, you know, our primary caregivers were that responsive to us and that the world is really, really scary when we were little, it's learning to understand that we went through that experience and why we went through that experience, and giving ourselves, like, I suppose, some self-compassion for why we might be experiencing anxiety as well, and then ways to try to work on lessening that as well. So, you know, it's quite a complex thing, and anxiety can hit for lots of different reasons. So it's building an awareness to all of that.
Yeah, which really kind of, I think the big commonality there would be the fact that everyone has lived through this COVID world and this change. Mm. So I think that also kind of brings up another question that I was going to ask you about, how we can, I suppose, you've answered a lot of it there, really, is to understand that these big life changes, and when things change around us, it does heighten our anxiety, but it also probably, you know, instills an anxiety in people who might not necessarily have felt it, because they have to change. Everyone has to change the whole way that they're thinking, like, you know, about the world and about life as they knew it, and things like that. So I think your point there about self-compassion is really relevant and important, and something we need to remind ourselves of. And, you know, if we didn't have anxiety before the pandemic and now we do, that's okay. And that's not unusual, or, you know, it's normal. It's, you know, and something that everybody is experiencing as well, across, you know, across the whole world.
You consider, you know, what I've said about anxiety, anxiety is our body's response to a threat. And COVID has been a huge threat in our lives for the last year. You know, it's been a real threat that we've been considering. So, of course, our anxiety levels have gone up. And also, a lot of our, like, self-care resources have been taken away from us, or the things that really help us to feel well, like our social interactions, going to the gym, if that's something that really helps your well-being, meeting a friend for coffee, just getting a break from, you know, real life. I really miss going on holidays, and I only realized over the last year it's the escapism of all the kind of stresses of life, like work and, you know, maybe financial considerations. It's just this escapism. So COVID has robbed us of a lot. So all of that is impacting our anxiety levels as well. And something else actually that just jumped to mind there is that with anxiety, it's also possible to change our environments to remove some of the anxiety stressors as well. So, you know, if listening to the news really makes you feel very anxious, stop listening to the news, or limit the amount of times that you allow yourself to tune into it. You know, bring it back to once a day or once every 2 days. And then you're not going to be in that, you know, situation where your anxiety is going to be heightened from it. You know, also, if we're not sleeping, if we're not giving enough time to, if we're not prioritizing sleep enough, allow ourselves to sleep more, or at least to rest more, because lack of sleep can really heighten anxiety. Exercise really, really helps with anxiety management. You know, finances and relationships can really stress us out and make us feel anxious as well. So considering if the people that we're surrounding ourselves with are, you know, if they're bringing us more anxiety in our lives than positivity, because it's possible to change some of our relationships as well, or take a step back, even though that can be incredibly hard to do. So yeah, it's worth thinking about your environment and your life and the things that are causing you stress and anxiety. You know, our work can do that for us as well. Are you in a job that's really stressing you out? Can you make changes within that? Or can you boundary it? Or can you change your job if it's really, you know, bringing you a lot of anxiety? So it's possible to make some changes as well, that with those changes, our anxiety levels will lessen.
For sure. It's like, I think people are coming up against these challenges that, you know, they may have been too busy to really notice or to understand the process. But to your point about everything being taken away, the holidays, the coffee with a friend, the, you know, all the different fun stuff that we used to use to help alleviate the craziness, I suppose, that comes with life, has been taken away. So, I know you mentioned, you know, meditation might not be for somebody, or different ways to manage the thoughts are different for look different for every person. But I do want to touch on journaling, because I know you speak to journaling a lot, and it's something that I know a lot of people really find value in, and it's become really, really popular. Can we talk a little bit about what journaling looks like? Or I think people might not understand the concept, or what they really should do, or what kind of things they should aim for when trying to journal.
Yeah, I think it can be one of these things where you hear journaling all the time, or like with gratitude, you hear about gratitude all the time, but you're like, oh, what actually is it? And sometimes you don't want to actually ask the question, because you're worried that you're going to come across as a little bit stupid or something like that. Yeah. It happens to all of us. You know, sometimes in meetings, there's questions I want to ask, and I'm like, don't ask, Clodagh. You should know the answer to this. Journaling, it's just putting pen to paper, you know, writing down how you're feeling. Lots of people have lovely journaling notebooks, but it could be as simple as writing down on a scrap of paper. And anything, it can be writing down anything that comes to mind. So it might be that you're feeling really anxious. I know this works wonders for me. If I'm feeling really anxious in my body, but I'm not sure what's going on for me, what's triggered it, if I spend 10, 15 minutes, even 5 minutes, just sitting down in silence by myself, writing down how I'm feeling, it can often really build my awareness to what's triggered it for me. Like even this morning, I was opening an email from somebody, and I just got this surge of fear in my body that it was going to be a negative response from an email that I had sent to somebody. And that just sometimes happens to me. And it wasn't, you know, 99.9%. It's not what I anticipate it's going to be. But this kind of impending sense of doom is something that I'm really familiar with, and probably lots of people who are listening are really familiar with as well. So if we write down how we're feeling, and if we write down what's going on for us, even if you're not sure and you just say, I don't know what's going on for me today, I'm feeling really anxious, I felt really anxious opening that email, I'm not sure what it is, the longer you spend writing, the more you might be able to figure it out. So it helps us to really build awareness to how we're feeling, but also it helps us to process our emotions, or to kind of work through our emotions. So with our emotions, there's energy attached to them. And if we don't allow ourselves to kind of make sense of them and work through them and process them, we don't let ourselves kind of release that energy. So if we're feeling really anxious, if we're feeling really fearful, we need to kind of work through why we're experiencing that to help us to manage it, but also to help us to release it and let go of it. So if we write down the impact that it's having on us, how we're feeling, it can help us to release that energy. It can help us to spend a little time with the emotion, and then to feel it, and then to release it or heal it. And that's really, really powerful and really important for our emotional health as well.
Yeah, it's so, I think, underestimated. But I think people, to your point you made at the start, it's kind of like, sounds such like a vague, airy, fairy concept, but it's actually just very simple. And it's actually, I find it beneficial, even when you don't have anxiety, to really sit with your thoughts at the end of the day, and you'd be surprised at how much stuff you discover about yourself and about you know, the way that you process things. Like, even if it's not an anxious day, or you know, you've had a good day, it's really I find beneficial and empowering to journal, even on the good days.
Absolutely, because we all, you know, we experience emotions to you know, our emotions are messages to us about how we're interpreting the world around us. So some of our emotions, like fear, can be really hard to sit with. But then there's emotions like happiness and joy that, you know, are really lovely to spend time with. And if we sit down and write about it, something that's made us really happy, that's going to have a really positive boost on how we're feeling too. So all of us experience emotions, all of us experience fear, all of us experience anxiety to some extent. You know, it's a spectrum like everything else. So spending time with ourselves, building an awareness to how we're feeling, that can give us a boost, and it also can lessen some of our worries, some of the stresses that we're experiencing, and can give us a nudge to make changes as well. If we're sitting down after work every day and saying, I'm feeling really stressed out, you know, my relationships and work are really impacting me, or the job itself is really impacting me, without that awareness, we can't make any changes. And, you know, I think the goal in life for all of us is to live happy, fulfilled lives where we feel content and satisfied in our relationships and in how we're spending our time. So yeah, if we want to live happy lives, it's really important to discover and to check in with ourselves with how we're feeling.
Bring it on. I love it. I wanted to ask you a personal question about any books that you read. I love asking this question because I feel like people, you know, if they hear you chat or they followed you on social media, they're always like, they want a piece of you, or they want to, you know, they want to continue on this conversation, or, you know, take your advice home. Do you have favorite books, and they don't have to be anxiety related, but do you have kind of favorite books in the kind of human behavior psychology world that you love or always recommend? I'd love to hear them.
So the book that always comes to mind when people ask me this question is The Choice by Edith Edgar, or Edith Eger. Do you know her?
I've read a lot of the book, but I haven't finished it. I will admit that.
it's the type of book that the first like two-thirds of it are really gripping, and then when she talks about her experience of being a therapist, that kind of loses people. I think it loses me at times as well. But even if you just dip into the first kind of half of the book, it's a really powerful book about, I suppose, that happiness and that gratitude and our perception, our life perception, is a choice. And that's, I'm really big on that in general. You know, how we live our life is a choice. How we perceive things is a choice. You know, our happiness, 40% of our happiness levels is down to how we live our life and how we intentionally connect with things that bring us joy and happiness. So I love that book. It just really gives a lot of food for thought. It's based on her experience in Nazi concentration camps as a young girl growing up. So I find it really, really powerful. So I love that book. I also recently read Untamed by Glennon Doyle.
Yeah, this is another book. I haven't read that one yet.
The first half really gripped me, and then I kind of lost interest a little bit as well. But in a similar way, it really just makes you think about, I suppose, how you engage with life, how you engage with yourself. Because like with anxiety, what we tell ourselves about our world and about ourselves, you know, it really impacts how we feel about ourselves and our life. So the more we consider how we're speaking to ourselves and how we're interpreting our world, the more we feed that to ourselves, you know, the greater impact it's going to have on us. So if we tell ourselves our life is difficult and stressful and scary, that's how we're going to experience life. But if we tell ourselves that, you know, we're strong and resilient and that life is for living and that we can choose our happiness and joy and we can choose to live a life that feels fulfilling, the more we're going to live a life that is full of happiness and the more satisfied we're going to feel. So, you know, I'm probably explaining it in simplistic terms, and it's hard work. Like with anxiety, quietening and calming our anxiety can be really hard, but we have the power to do it. You know, it's all within our control.
Untamed is a big one. I haven't actually read that one yet, but I know people who I don't expect who read it, like my friends and, you know, people I follow on social media love it. So I definitely must put it on the list for this year.
In terms of anxiety, feel the fear and do it anyway. I think the author is Susan Jeffries. That's a big one in terms of pushing through fear and anxiety. And research shows that if we can push through, if we can expose ourselves to the things that make us feel scared, we can overcome them. And in the process, we'll feel more confident about ourselves. So it's like a double whammy, because we'll discover that things aren't actually as scary as we perceive them to be. And we also feel more confident in ourselves and more resilient because of it. And the research really backs that up. So, you know, I don't know about you, but there's often things that I'd be really fearful about. I was ringing somebody recently and I was really anxious about the call. And I was so anxious that I was telling my friend about it. And then the call went absolutely fine. You know, we build things up for ourselves.
It's crazy. We tell ourselves so much stories.
Yeah. And we forget how competent we are. So a big strategy of mine when it comes to my anxiety, because I experience anxiety all the time, is reminding myself that I'm capable, you know, that I'm capable of getting through things. So if a conversation is really difficult, I'm capable of getting through that conversation. And that might sound really simple, but it really helps with my anxiety. It's like another way to self-soothe, which again, really combats anxiety. It's like with a small child, if you tell them that everything's okay and that they're going to be okay and that life is going to be okay, you know, that's soothing. We need to tell ourselves that as well. So often I'll tell myself, even if something's going to be incredibly difficult, that I'm capable and that I'll overcome it, and that I've overcome all the other things that I've found really scary in life as well.
So feel the fear and do it anyway.